It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Basically, warmer weather brings leaf out and the like among trees. And this time of year, there are a few signs of spring that come along. You may recall the kids from the Grand Rapids School had noted that the aspens were flowering in around the schoolyard there, and Laura Thomason's fourth graders up at Kellyer had the same observation this past week of aspens beginning to flower. So if you go out and look at the aspens, you'll notice that they are, sometimes it takes binoculars to see them clearly, but the flowers are there. They start off like a little pussy willow. And the pussy willows are those little white, they're called aments, A-M-E-N-T-S, aments. And they are visible right now. There are a few pussy willows. I checked yesterday several willows in my neighborhood, and I found one that had a couple of pussy willows open on it. So that season is coming along as well. Among the notes from this past week, somebody posted on the, Val posted on the Season Watch page a picture of a saw-whet owl, wondering what on earth is this. And the saw-whet owl is somewhat migratory. I believe that most of them migrate out of northern Minnesota. We had a listener member in Big Fork for many years who banded saw-whet owls. And in the fall one year, I think in one night, he banded 43 saw-whet owls migrating south. So saw-whet owls are coming into the area. They will be calling. And I have some early records in the first part of March where the saw-whet owls are calling. Typically, it's a little bit later in the year. It'll be toward the end of March, first part of April. And what you'll hear, and especially for those of you who, like I, live quite a ways removed from civilization into the woods, you might hear what sounds like a truck alarm, one of those backup alarms on a truck that's kind of a beep. And that is the call of the saw-whet owl. It sounds a bit like this. Can't get my whistle working here. Let's try it again. Only they can go on and on and on for a long time with it. So listen for that. Listen for that kind of backup alarm sort of a sound. And that will be the saw-whet owls. And they could be calling, anywhere in the northern part of the state today. Though, given our weather and whatnot, I suspect probably it'll be a little later this year. Downy woodpeckers are drumming at my house. Yesterday morning, it was just a cacophony. They were definitely establishing territory in the neighborhood. I have downy, hairy, and pileated woodpeckers. My neighbor, Marvin, and his wife, Diet, have a red-bellied woodpecker, the beautiful male with a beautiful red head, coming to the feeder at their house. And I'm a little envious of that, but nonetheless, the woodpeckers, all of the woodpeckers that are residents, are going to be doing some drumming in this month, and that drumming is going to be territorial. It's like, hey, all you woodpeckers out there, notice this and be alert. I live here, and I am not about to share this territory with any of those of you who are of my species. Now, the interesting thing, the three woodpeckers that I have at my house, the downy, the hairy, and the pileated, all three of them will live in proximity to one another. They're not exploiting the same resource. They have all three of them have different niches that they exploit in the environment, and so they can get along with one another, but you're not going to find two pairs of downies or two pairs of hairies or two pairs of pileateds in the same territory, because then the competition over the food source becomes more intense. And so that's what they're doing right now. They're drumming to establish that territory. So listen for that. It's pretty obvious. And I would expect if you're outside this morning, you might hear it, because yesterday morning about this time, they were definitely rattling and drumming and making quite a bit of noise to establish that territory. And from Jim DeVries, who lives up in, well, I think technically Britt, Minnesota is his neighborhood. I was walking behind my house and came across a bloody urine mark in the snow. The tracks were 10 inches above the trail in untrampled snow. At first, I suspected it was a single male wolf with bloody urine, but after further investigation, I found a second set of tracks where they went around a curve and fell out of sync with each other. It is definitely breeding season for the wolves. And so this is a pretty good observation and a pretty definitive of the what the wolves are up to. And the fact that these two were following one in the other's footprints and then getting just slightly out of sync so that Jim could see that there were actually two wolves here and not one. And the urine, the bloody urine on the ground, of course, is another good indicator of the fact that the wolves are definitely getting into the breeding season and will be doing so very soon, or perhaps have already done so. I talked to Ed Dallas this morning, and Ed was dismayed by the amount of snow on the ground at his house. And I said, "Well, come to my house. You know, there's nothing there but green grass. I've been mowing the lawn for a couple of weeks." And Ed wanted to share my morning coffee with me, assuming that there was something in there that was causing me to have these hallucinations. He told me a tale of his little snowblower. He said that the banks have gotten so high that his snowblower won't blow the snow high enough to get it over the bank. And I said he needs one of those two-stage snowblowers where you build a platform about 4 feet up and you blow the snow onto the platform, and then you put the snowblower on top of the platform and blow the snow over the top of the bank. So he exclaimed that he wasn't aware that that was how the two-stage snowblower worked, but I think that's the only explanation that fits the situation. I want to take you back, first of all, to yesterday in 1995, when my nephew Jonathan and I were exploring a bear den that I had found in the fall of 1994, and we went back on March 4th, 1995, and we were in snow that was thigh deep. So this was March 4th, 1995, and the snow on that year was thigh deep on me, and I'm 6 feet tall. So we skied in, and then we took our skis off, and as we approached the den, you could hear breathing. You could hear this bear breathing in there, and suddenly the breathing sort of picked up a little bit more intense. Like now it's not panting, but it's definitely breathing hard. And then the bear started snapping its teeth as a further warning that we should not approach. And ignoring all of this, I went over and peered in this dark hole. The bear's breath had kept a hole open about 8 or 9 inches in diameter and kind of frosty around the edges. And I peered down in that hole, and there was Mama Bear just down there with her eyes wide open, laying on the ground looking at me. And I remember stumbling away from the hole and thinking, boy, if I actually had to run away from this bear, there wouldn't be really any running away from it. I would just be stuck here because the snow is so deep. That happened yesterday in 1995. Some other notes from past years. We have had some snowy marches. We've had some marches. 94, for example, when I have lots of notes of birds of various sorts drinking from puddles in my driveway. There are no puddles in my driveway this week, I can assure you. From March 5th, today's date in 1978, Larry Olson, Cass County phenologist who kept records for many, many years, sent along a note saying that he had seen his first prairie skink on March 5th, 1978. March 5th, 1984, four deer today crossing into a recent cutover area. 85, March 5th, 1985, two deer wade belly deep in search of food, belly deep in the snow in 95 or 85. And that was the year, if you're listening to the daily dose of phenology, we had 5 inches of snow on the 4th and 6 inches on the 5th, or I may have those flipped. It was 11 inches total in 2 days right then. And pretty surprising, but really difficult for the deer to get around. Northern hawk owl in 85. Common golden eyes in the Mississippi River in 87. 87 was a really early spring. Northern harriers seen on March 5th, 1987. The speckled alders in 88, the male catkins were starting to descend. And so there was actually a pretty warm spring in 88. 88 was the year of the drought. And that was one of those years when the water was very, very low. Masked shrew on March 5th, 89. Pussy willows just starting to emerge on March 5th, 90. Rough-legged hawk in 1990. Striped skunk, first sighting, 1991. Red osier dogwoods and willows starting to become more colorful in 1992. Speckled alders, same things. Colorful, more colorful, and you know, sometimes this time of year, in fact, I was out yesterday and I noticed that the willows, the red osier dogwoods, and the alders all seem to be becoming more colorful. And part of that is that suntan effect. You know, if you could tolerate having your hand out in the sun as a mailman does, you would find that by the first part of March, you'd have a pretty good tan on that hand. And above the hand where the clothing covers your body, you would still be pretty darned white. In March 5th, 1994, tulips were up in Grand Rapids and crocus were blooming in 94. And that was just prior to 95 when we had deep, deep snow. Pardon me. In the year 2000, Ed Dallas reported from the Deerwood area the first eastern bluebirds. My daughter and my father-in-law, my daughter and her grandfather, saw an American robin on March 5th in the year 2000. And the ravens, of course, are always active regardless. Northern hawk owls in 2001. Bald eagle sitting on eggs March 5th, 2001. Recent warm weather may have incited that bird to do that. Snow buntings in 2002. Purple finches in 2003. You know, lots of things that happen this time of year that haven't happened yet this year, and I would expect that it'll be a little bit of time. 2005, the goldfinches were starting to change color, and purple finches were back. I haven't seen a purple finch yet this year. I would expect that, well, I'd like to say any day now, but I think it'll probably be a week or more before we really get a chance to see any purple finch. Perhaps you have one at your house and you'd like to report it to us. We'd love to hear from you on that. Horned larks, March 5th, 2006. What else? Lots of the regular white-breasted, white-breasted, red-breasted, pine siskins, that crew hanging out in the area. Snow fleas, you know, as things warm up, you'll begin to see scorpion flies, false scorpions, and snow fleas on top of the snow. So you skiers out there, check your trails. And if you see something that looks like pepper on the snow, you should get in there and check really carefully, see what's going on. 2009, the Eagles were calling from the nest. Yep. We had some cumulus clouds in 2012. 2013 was a very cold and late spring. In fact, it came right along as one of the coldest springs on record. And so there was a lot of things going on there that that really slowed things down. March 5th, 2013, cold spring. Not quite fully into breeding plumage yet, talking about the goldfinch, but they were quite yellow at this point. And let's see, 2014, for red-bellied woodpecker in the neighborhood. And last year, 2018, first flock of snow bunting seen. Strong east winds have the driveway littered with bits of pine and spruce boughs. And strong winds have done the same thing this year. The snow is littered with pine and spruce boughs and little seeds from this tree and that, and lots of interesting stuff. If you're out walking around, always, always, always think about what's on top of the snow, because the snow is constantly refreshing, especially this year. And it's kind of sometimes startling, the things that fall out of the trees in 10 to 20 hours of windy weather. And today is no exception. So get out and look. You know, this is how you discover things like black-backed woodpeckers. Because if you're in a boggy area, swampy area, and you're in black spruce and tamarack, look at the snow. If you see a lot of bark laying on the snow around a tree, chances are the woodpeckers have been working on that tree, and there will be some debris thrown down on top of the snow that you will be able to see. And it should clue you in that you should be looking more carefully to see if you can't find the woodpeckers that are doing the damage. And sometimes it turns out to be those rare and elusive black-backed or the American three-toed woodpeckers, both of which are quite uncommon here in northern Minnesota. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have comments or questions, observations you'd like to share, please send them along. We'd love to hear from you.